Good day. I'm
roll
Doug
camera.
McKenzie. Take off roll
I
camera.
I want to do that.
There's no camera in here.
Roll tape.
I got to give them my theory on movies, eh?
Where's Beers?
I'll find him.
Level 5.
Plus, he had a mutant.
So good day. Welcome to Strange Brood, the Fleshy-Headed Minute. I'm Lee McCormack. This is my co-host, BJ Cramp.
How's it going, eh?
And today's topic is episode 50, minute 45.
Sorry.
Get his bowl quick or he'll kill us.
Yeah, he's got a funny look in his eye, eh?
What the stink are they doing in there?
Would you like me to tilt your chair back?
Shut up.
20 cans ought to be enough, eh? Okay, we're going to a party. Don't eat the furniture.
I gotta get some new underwears. Jeez.
Bootlegs!
Oh, remember where we got this?
Yeah, it was just running off them pirates, eh?
Was that a dream or what?
It was no dream. It was in your underwears.
Okay, let's see.
What are you gonna do?
It's one of them new square records, eh, that goes like on a record player that's like on its side, eh?
No way, that's an EP from some British new wave band.
Take off. You don't know.
Yeah, they bootleg those, eh?
What do you think?
Sounds like a...
So Bob and Doug are in shock here of what they've just witnessed, right? In their parents' bedroom, right? They're like deer in headlights, right? And like Doug's caught with that thing in his mouth, whatever he's got, like a licorice or hot rod or something, and it kind of just droops.
Yeah, I guess that was a setup when he grabbed that. It was a great setup for that to just go limp when he sees his parents in bed.
Like, yeah.
It was like a great addition to his reaction.
Yeah, it's like he's chewing it and he just stops chewing, and because he stopped chewing it, the thing falls out of his mouth kind of like limp. Right?
There should be like a sound effect with that, you know?
So Bob's like, sorry. And then Doug's like, geez. I didn't know they were in there, right?
Yeah, who would know they were in there?
Yeah.
I think Doug's like, do you believe it? I think I heard him say that.
They both retreat and shut the door behind them. They head back into the kitchen, and they're cornered by a growling, snarling, hungry Hosehead the dog, right? So Hosehead the dog is just snarling at these hosers, right? And he backs them both up against this counter. Right, and I did notice that in the counter, you see like these little like cubby holes and little shelves where like above the stove, and there's all these little like Elsinore stubby bottles shoved in there too, right? So there's just beer like everywhere you look in this household, right? So they're pressed up against the counter here, right? And Doug's like, get his bowl quick or he'll kill us, right? Like obviously, Hosehead's starving here, right? Bob's like, he's got a funny look in his eye, right? We cut to... Hosehead's POV, right? Hosehead's growling. There's a shot of Hosehead there. He's got these fangs, like he's Cujo or something like that, right?
Yeah, I was wondering how they got this dog to bare its teeth like that for that shot. I'm not sure how they got that.
You must be one of those good like Hollywood acting dogs or something, eh?
Well, maybe it's like, you know how they used to put peanut butter on Mr. Ed's teeth or something to get his mouth to move so it would look like he would talk?
Yeah.
Maybe they got something like that they do. I don't know.
Or they had like the local mailman stop by and just show his face or something like that. Right? So Bob's like, oh, he's got a funny look in his eyes, right? And we cut to Hosehead's POV, right? His point of view. And we see there's like this haze around the lens as if it's like a fantasy dream sequence or whatever, right? And Hosehead's POV is like 2 5-foot-tall T-bone steaks with Bob and Doug's heads on top, right? So they're
I was wondering how they did this shot. Does it look to you like they're actually like in some giant steak things or with their heads sticking out?
Yeah, because there is some thickness to the steak. Like it looks like a good like foot and a half thick steak, right? Like a 5 by a foot and a half stick thickness to it, right? So if they were just behind this prop that they made, I guess their heads would look kind of, I don't know, maybe they cut the top out so they could press their heads up close to the
it seems like they're standing on something to like they're higher, they're taller than they would be.
Yeah,
normally. So,
but I remember in the theater, this one, this got a huge laugh, man. Just seeing the hose head's point of view, like they're both walking steaks in his eyes at this point.
Yeah,
he just wants to eat them, right? Right. So then, at this moment, we cut to Brewmeister Smith in the car outside. Right. I noticed this too. When you cut from scene to scene in a movie, there's different ways that people do it. Like I remember famously, like the Star Wars films, like from the 70s. The way they would cut, he would just do like a slide, like they would almost like the one scene would slide out from the other one.
They call it like a wipe, I think.
A wipe, yeah. And there's ones that like dissolve. Like dissolve, I think, is the main one they use now. But this one did for this one scene, which is different than the rest of the film, not many scenes like this, they did like a flip wash where it kind of just did like a, like almost like a 360. And the other side of the shot was the Brewmeister Smith car shot. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of neat. But anyway, he's like holding his head in his forehand. He's like, he seems frustrated, right?
And this what the stink are they doing in there?
Yeah, what a great line, eh? I love that delivery. What the stink. Yeah.
So Brewmeister Smith, even though he's like this horrible, evil monster, he, you know, he doesn't swear. He doesn't use curse words. He says, what the stink are they doing in there?
Yeah, I mean, like, they could have said what the fuck, but that might have been too harsh. Yeah. What the hell would have been like, what the hell are they doing in there? That probably would have been common. But the what the stink is just original.
It's
and it's just, it's, you know, it's pretty cool, yeah. So then the shot changes, but we're still in the car there with Brewmeister and Claude. And Claude's like, he's like, would you like me to tilt your chair back? Right? Yeah. It's like a kiss ass.
Yeah, he's such a toady. He's just like a, and I mean, he can't figure out that Brewmeister Smith would, in a second, would kill him. Like, he, yeah. I mean, he just
like
seems
he's like
to despise.
He's like,
him.
You're this like far away like, from me, crushing your head between my own hands.
He he's just disgusted with this guy.
Yeah. So he's the, he replies like, "Shut up." Right.
Yeah. Just a, I mean, this is a very the relationship between Brewmeister and Claude is incredibly abusive.
Yeah. But this is just a classic exchange between the villain and his bumbling sidekick, right? Like Lex Luthor and Otis and that kind of thing, right? I love it.
But why does Claude keep trying? That's what I can't figure out. I mean, why would he offer to tilt Brewmeister's chair back? I mean, anybody could predict how that interaction's going to turn out.
Like, I don't know. I guess he's seeing that this plan is going wrong. It's going a little bit haywire, and a lot of it's due to him. So he's just trying to get back in his good books. And he's like, hey, I'm here to like help out and whatever I can do, and I'm here for you.
I think he's just trying to stay alive. I think really Claude's main motivation with Brewmeister is to not be killed.
Yeah, it's fear. Yeah, it's fear is the motivation here. Yeah. So we're back inside the house in the kitchen here. We see Bob's kneeling down. He's talking to Hosehead. He's like telling them, you know, they're going to a party. Don't be, don't eat the furniture, right? He's like, 20 cans ought to be enough, eh? So, 20 cans of beer for Hosehead. We got 8 cases of Elsinore I see stacked in the kitchen there. We also see this Coho hockey stick, right? That's the brand Coho. They just got their hockey stick in the kitchen, right?
When we talked about our hockey equipment, we purposely left out the hockey stick. Along with the skates, I feel that the hockey stick is our most important piece. Now, every guy has his own style and likeness to a hockey stick. Some guys like it long, short. Other guys like it heavier or light. But we all have one thing in common. We all have to have a stick. Now, a few things that I like in a hockey stick that are a little different, maybe. I like to have a little bit wider paddle than most players are using in the NHL. I like my hands to be able to roll on the hockey stick, so I like the stick to be rounded and shaved a little bit more. I don't use a particularly long stick. I use it about that high, and it feels comfortable for my shooting and for my puck handling. But one thing that I have to have on a hockey stick, I like it to be stiff and heavy, which a lot of guys find a little strange, but I can find that I can control the puck better when I'm shooting with a stiffer hockey stick.
Man advantage as a result of all that. Here's a steal, and Gretzky comes across the line. Less than a minute remaining. Gretzky walks in, shoots, and scores!
And again, a two-on-one doesn't work. As Yuri Curry limps to the bench, Wayne Gretzky moves up. Gretzky circling. No teammates with him. Here's a clinic by 99.
And Gretzky comes back. Suminen heads for the net. Gretzky goes back to the line, as we said he often does, puts it through Loisel's legs. Look at Gretzky rolls it in.
Looks like there's a vacuum cleaner there. There's a box of country style donuts, obviously.
I would just realize the fact that they're like setting Hosehead up for the long haul seems to mean they think their parents are going to be in that bedroom for a long time. And they got to keep Hosehead supplied.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Hosehead is theirs to take care of. And like the parents maybe take care of the bird. Maybe the bird died. So like maybe now that's why Bob and Doug's like, we got to take care of Hosehead or else he's going to be just like that bird.
Yeah.
In the background, we have Doug's adjusting himself, right? He's like, he opens his pants up. He's like, I got to get some new underwears, right? And I love that, the way he pluralizes. He puts the S on underwear, right? Like underwear.
I was trying to figure out, is he irritated because he has the bootleg in there, or was he just like adjusting his underwear and then just happened to remember he had the bootleg?
No, I think the bootleg is what's like pressing up against
his
crotch or whatever.
Him.
He's like, he realizes, he's like, geez, bootlegs. I goes, remember where we got this? Right? So they're remembering back to, you know, right before they were tranked there. So. Yeah. This is the one thing I was wondering too, right? So Brewmeister Smith and Claude like changed their clothes back, right? Like, see, they got them out of their hockey gear and put their regular hoser gear back on, right? So didn't they see the disc in like Doug's like pants then when they were changing their clothes?
Well, and also when he found the boot, like, wasn't he wearing the whole like stormtrooper outfit?
Yeah, and he shoved it down his pants. So did he shove it in his underwear? And I guess maybe they didn't go that deep when they changed their clothes, like. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah. We discussed the whole idea of that somebody had to undress and redress the unconscious hosers, and it must have been Claude.
Yeah, or Ted. Maybe,
and he missed. This is another thing Brewmeister would be really pissed about, is that Claude let them smuggle that floppy disk out.
Well, it comes up later where they're like, "How do they get that disk?" Right. So, like, right here, it's like right, you know, beneath their noses, but they didn't see it. So that's kind of interesting. So Bob's like, yeah, that was when they was running off those pirates, right? And Doug's like, was that a dream or what? Right? So, like, now what do Bob and Doug think happened, right? Like, first they were in this hockey game, right? And then they found this this nuclear – somebody horked their clothes, right? Then they found this nuclear bomb shelter looking for the lost and found. And then all of a sudden they wake up in the van, and now they're on this delivery mission. So, you know, what must they be thinking, right?
Well, it's hilarious that – so they kind of have an inkling of there's something fishy going on in this brewery, and their conclusion is that they're printing bootleg records. That's what Brewmeister's master plan is.
Yeah, the bomb shelter, that's where they make those pirates, right? Yeah, so Bob's like, that was no dream, it was in your underwear, right? So Doug's walking into the living room to play the bootlegs, right? And he's like, it's one of them square records that goes on like a record player on its side, eh? And I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, like, I had a couple of those square records that would come in like magazines. What are they called? Like flex discs or something like that?
Yeah, flexi discs.
Like, I had a bunch that were in like National Geographic magazine had like whale sounds. And they were like,
yeah, and sometimes they would be a square too, just like this.
Well, they were always a square, but I guess you could cut, if you wanted, you could cut the record with a scissor. But I remember I had a few and I never cut them. So I had these like square records that would play on my turntable, right?
These are underwater sounds made by humpback whales as they pass near Bermuda in the spring. They were recorded through a hydrophone, which is a kind of underwater microphone. The water is very deep, and the sounds are echoing off the undersurfaces of waves and from the submarine canyons and ridges on the island slope. If you listened for a long time, you would hear that the sounds are organized into definite repeating patterns. So we call them songs, just as we refer to bird songs or frog songs. Unlike bird songs, humpback songs are very long, 6 to 30 minutes, and are strung together without pauses between them. They are probably the longest, loudest, and slowest songs in nature.
So that's
I love this line when Bob says it was in your underwears, and Doug is like, take off. You don't know.
<It's> like, yeah, because
the way they talk to each other.
Yeah,
just...
Bob's standing there and he's got a beer, right? And he's like, no way, that's the EP from some British new wave band, eh? Doug's like, you don't know. And as he's doing that, he's like dropping the needle like on this square record, this disc or whatever, right? Bob's like, yeah, they bootleg those. So we get this scratchy sound. And Bob's like, sounds like a... And that's where the minute cuts off. But I love, too, how, like, Bob's, like, he's got there with his beer, and he's kind of, like, listening to the tunes, and he's kind of, like, bobbing his head a little bit right as the scratching noise comes
yeah,
down.
I mean, having grown up in the Midwest, I'm very familiar with these characters, these guys who, yeah, they, you know, they loved, like, AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, and this is definitely, yeah, I mean, these guys are Canadian, but it's very similar to the Midwestern guys.
Yeah, these guys are in a rush and April Wine and Max Webster.
Yeah, these guys
like
who
that.
Yeah, they love beer and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
I mean, we've seen the stick. They've got what, the Rolling Stones sticker on their van, and
yeah,
there's
an AC/DC, I think the Judas Priest they have.
Good day. Oh, do it.
Okay.
Good day, welcome to the Great White North Canadian Corner. I'm Bob McKenzie, it's my brother Doug, and today we got a real big show because we got an important topic, which is your the best groups, okay? Now, you wanted to say a couple of things. You told me before you wanted to talk about...
Take off, I never did. Oh, Center Shot, eh? Real nice, eh?
Oh, right.
Oh, you wanted to say something. Okay wait. Oh. You had that speech you wanted to do, eh?
Oh, right.
Do the speech.
Right.
This is totally in French, eh? Go on, do it. Yeah, eh? Center Shot, eh? Two can play that game.
Okay, well, the show is about the best groups, all right? And, like, we were talking about music, right? And... Okay, like disco, okay? Like disco sucks, right?
Sucks. Disco's out, eh? Forget it. Like it's over.
So like, what is in, right?
I was in Kamloops like 10 years ago, eh? And there was disco there then, eh? So like,
oh,
that's
cool.
In the mountains, you know, and reindeer are like boom, 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 boom.
Oh, that's good. Why don't you do your imitations?
What? Like two dogs fighting?
Yeah, listen to this, eh?
Okay, here's my imitation of two dogs fighting, eh?
Really?
Like the big dog won, eh?
Okay, now we'll do the boat. This is a boat.
Okay, this is a boat leaving Halifax. I saw it, eh? And like it's stuck in my mind forever, so I do it.
Listen to this. Those are the gulls. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. Good day.
Good day, eh?
Do the, you didn't do the other one.
What other one, eh?
Oh, yeah, so that'll do it for this minute, and we'll talk to you knobs next time.
Take off.
Okay, that clears up a lot of things for me.